Plain Gardening for the Gulf Coast. With Mobile's award-winning garden expert and chief horticultural advisor for Mobile Botanical Gardens, Bill Finch. We'll talk about living and growing on the Gulf Coast. Now, your personal yard and garden consultant, here's Bill Finch.
Hey, welcome back. It's the Gulf Coast Sunday morning. Boy, I've had great questions this morning. Lots of fun questions. Challenging questions. And I've asked for your help on some of them. This mushroom growing thing. I wonder if anybody else out there has had success growing mushrooms in their yard. And I know I've seen a lot of people do it very well. I will admit, it's one of those things like growing carrots, where I was jealous of Johnny in Grand Bay forever because Johnny grew such great carrots. And I couldn't grow great carrots. And, you know, I kept at it. And boy, I kind of got the rhythm of carrots. It's just, you know, it's getting the rhythm. My view is great gardeners, the only great gardeners are those who kill hundreds of plants. You have to keep trying. And until you get it right and you figure it out and you try to be systematic about it, you don't just arbitrarily kill things. Well, sometimes you do, but you try to learn from it each time. And so I have every confidence, based on the fact that other people have done a great job with mushrooms throughout Alabama and Florida and Georgia, that one of these days I'm going to get the rhythm right on this thing, and I'm going to have great mushrooms, and so is Carol, and Carol's going to help me figure this out. So it's a fun thing to think about. We got lots of other great pictures today. Listen, great pictures of Louisiana purple beans. Pole beans, they're really great. They cook up green. They're beautiful. David sent me pictures of those. David also has his gagutsa, spelled C-U. Oh, I don't even want to try to spell it. Gagutsa, the old Italian name for this great squash that is a very distinctive squash. I think more related to gagutsa may actually be more related to gourds than to typical squash, but it's quite good, quite a delicacy, much beloved, and along the Gulf Coast, particularly out of New Orleans, and David's gagutsa is doing really good. He's very excited about it. I have some beautiful pictures from Ronnie up on Majors Creek, one of the great places in the world up around Tensaw. Oh, man, we need to protect that area. It is one of the last great refuges of America's Amazon. And I want to say America's Amazon is not forever if we don't take active steps to protect it. If you think it's just that floodplain, you've missed it. It's Majors Creek that's part of America's Amazon, this beautiful creek that flows through the longleaf. Oh, we did a number on that longleaf, and I don't even want to get into it. But if we can restore the longleaf there along Majors Creek, keep that creek flowing and beautiful, just a beautiful creek, a beautiful plant, Ronnie. That plant is what Grandma would call, what did she say? I think she said hummock sweet azalea. Hummock sweet azalea. That's how she said it. Some people might say hammock sweet azalea. It's the sweet azalea of swamps. Swamp azalea is another name that you hear sometimes. But it tends to grow in swampy hummocks along Blackwater Creeks. It's a beautiful azalea. You know, this type of azalea, because it's so fragrant, in the old days when people said honeysuckle, they weren't talking about that vine that we brought over from Asia. They were talking about the native azaleas, which were very sweet. This is one of the sweetest. It blooms in June and July. Isn't that amazing? May, June, July, and August, not in spring. One of my favorite azaleas, beautiful hummock sweet azaleas, growing along the creek. We're still trying to figure out what species are what. You know, when I told you that we think we know 20% of species and 80% we don't know, azaleas are one of those things where we really still are trying to figure out what the species are, and it turns out Alabama probably has a lot more species than anybody knew of these native honeysuckle azaleas. They lose their leaves in winter. They're not evergreen like the southern Indians. They lose their leaves in winter, but boy, are they have great flowers. Do you not agree, Ronnie? Are those not great flowers? It's one of our native azaleas. One of the honeysuckle azaleas, the hummock sweet azalea, blooms in summer, a summer blooming azalea. Really great thing. David, how do you make areas of your garden wet for Delta wildflowers? The simple story, David, is dig a hole. I don't want to get too much more complicated. Dig a hole. How deep do you dig it? I don't know. Who does it? You know, David, maybe if some of those dogs dig holes and they're big enough in a sunny area of your yard, I know they're mostly digging over in the shady areas. That's where. But if they happen to dig one in the sunnier areas, maybe you put, that's where you put those wildflowers. You need an area where the water is a little more persistent than it is in other areas. And just creating a swale, a shallow area, it doesn't have to be really deep at all. It can be deep and that's okay, but you know, just 6 inches lower sometimes, a foot lower than the other areas of the garden may be good enough. I would say if I were going to do this and I wanted to have wild iris and crinum lilies from the Delta and hymenocallis lilies from the Delta, and I've trialed this and I've got them all growing in my garden, the perfect way to do it, and here's my view now, is to have a bed that is a bed in reverse, if you will. A bed just like a garden bed. I think 3 feet wide is ideal and kind of elongated. I should say like a snake, but that would scare people off. You know, kind of elongated and maybe even in kind of an attractive curve. About 3 feet wide. That way you can tend it easily from both sides. Make it about a foot shallower, foot deeper into the ground, if you will, than the area around it. Organic matter can be good. And so once I dug that hole and I break up the ground at the bottom of it, if just a little bit if you want. But after I dug that hole, what I would do is I would start adding leaves to that hole. This time of year, add the leaves to the hole, let them break down in that hole and decompose, and there you've got your organic layer, and you can grow lots of really cool things in there. But just make it just a little bit deeper so it holds on to moisture better. David, we'll have to talk about the specifics of your yard. It needs to be in sun if you're going to really effectively do this. Really need sun. Keith, what the world did you do? You broke your arm. You can't get in the garden. Oh, I get sad pictures. I get beautiful pictures. There it is. Well, if you've got questions, feel free to send them to me. We'll talk about them. Shipfitter Sean, I have got to get back to you. We're going to talk about a perfect question. But meanwhile, I know we've got a caller. I wanted to get the caller before our break. Do we still have a caller there? Yeah, good. I'm listening. Hey, Tara. Hey.
Yes, sir. I'm so glad that Carol called in and talked about this. I'm going to say the kind of downer stuff first. I looked into this years ago. There's a company in Oregon. If you look in the back of seed catalogs and things, you will see that the guy that's written several books on it and is supposed to be a renowned expert. And the company sells the mushroom kits and things because I love mushrooms too. Totally love them, especially shiitakes or shiitakes, I think they're actually called. I called and had an extended conversation with the folks at that company, and they warned me off of it. The baseline thing that convinced me was the baseline question is mushrooms, like other things, can hybridize, and you're not always sure what you get. So when she started talking about how they do their things in hoop greenhouses that are on concrete floors that are sterilized, and you have to put on shoes and hats and gloves and all sorts of things to make sure that you don't spread the spores where they don't want them to go. So, I'm still hoping that Carol is going to, because she's got a background that I don't have, having been a biology teacher. So I'd love to hear from her, but as I say, they warned me so terrifically that it's just, for me,
Tara,
or just the other average people out there, I don't think...
Tara, I'm going to jump in. I'm going to jump in real quick. Let me jump in. First off, before people get too worried, commercial growing of spores requires very careful effort. You don't require that kind of effort in your own yard. Hybridization between mushroom genera, I guess, is possible. But that would never be something you would need to worry about if you're trying to grow mushrooms in your own yard. Nor do you need to worry about an absolutely sterile environment. And the reason they have to worry about it is an entirely different reason. It's got to do with the fact that they're trying to produce... But once you infect your log, and that's the best way to describe it, once you infect your log with the right kind of mushroom spores, you're set. You're done. There's no hybridization that's going to occur. That mushroom is going to repel other mushrooms that try to get in there. You're not going to get other mushrooms trying to invade it. The key is, and I understand enough about it to say this, the key is finding the log at the right age. You want it fairly freshly cut so that it isn't already pre-inoculated, pre-infected with other types of fungi. And if you do that, you don't have to worry about all the other sterility things that the person in Oregon is worried about. So just quickly, I mean, because I've seen a lot of people, a lot of good friends of mine have done this pretty successfully, and I've eaten their shiitakes, and they're pretty good. And there are a lot of other mushrooms that can be grown. And so that's not a worry. I will say that it may make a difference where those spores come from. And this is a big question. So somebody in Oregon may be producing mushrooms that really don't have, that may be a strain that is not as resistant to our long periods of warm weather. They may actually prefer longer periods of cool weather. So maybe southeastern mushroom spores make a bit of difference. I suspect they do. I haven't been able to work with enough southeastern producers yet to know. And that's something I'm going to have to do and Carol can do. But I'm very optimistic we can do it. There are problems to doing mushrooms, just like with everything else. But I don't think it's not like we have to have an absolutely sterile environment. Oh, is that a break? I didn't mean to get... Yeah, Tara, I hope that helped. Yeah, all right. Hey, I didn't mean to do this. That's okay. We're going to come back to this and a question, more questions about the sunken garden, which is a great way to describe this. It'll be a great thing to do, tax man. So here we go. And Ship Fitter Sean, I promise you, the first thing I do when I get back.
My friend Austin Key from Arrow Exterminators in studio, and we're talking about bugs. As always, you got to talk about bugs, but one of the bugs that dominates most conversations for folks here is that of termites, and that's a big deal for us down here.
Yeah, the Formosan swarm, it definitely gets people's attention. You know, it's always, like I said, around Mother's Day. We're getting to that tail end of it, but we're still getting calls with people seeing them still.
How do y'all tackle that? How do y'all, when you come out and you set up a program to keep the termites out, how do y'all do that?
Well, you know, it's tough to keep that swarmer out because it's going to come through 1/64 of an inch. So the swarmers can get in the house. It's just a matter of how many you're seeing and where you're seeing them to actually determine whether you're having a problem.
Okay, so just because I saw some out by the streetlight doesn't mean I have them.
That does not. That just means they're somewhere nearby and they're swarming out. You know, if you call me and you say, hey, they're 2 inches deep in my bathtub, or there's thousands of them in my kitchen or in a particular room, then that would lead to a potential problem, and we definitely need to get on that one sooner than later.
All right. If we want to get y'all to come out and check it out, tell us how to get in touch.
You can reach us at 888-GO-ARROW or arrowexterminators.com.
This is Chris Francis, board-certified master arborist at Chris Francis Tree Care. Trees are such a valuable part of your property. Want to know how to keep pest problems away from your trees? Start by keeping them healthy, making sure they're growing in a favorable environment, providing the proper nutrients, and maintaining the appropriate pH. Meanwhile, certain pests attack perfectly healthy plants. Timely applications of oils, soaps, insecticides, fungicides, and fertilizers will significantly improve survivability. But the key is having knowledgeable experts making regular site visits to catch or prevent problems before they occur, all while protecting the pollinators and beneficials. Does this sound overwhelming? Let our plant health care professionals do it for you. Call 4TREE, that's FORTREE, Chris Francis Tree Care. Online, chrisfrancistreecare.com, or find us on Facebook. or call 367-8733-251-4TREE.
This is George Zogby, candidate for Mobile County District Court Judge. Recently, a man was murdered by a person that was just released from jail on an extremely low bond on a charge of burglary just weeks earlier. This is absurd. As judge, I will set maximum bonds on serious repeat offenders to keep them off the streets of Mobile County. For me to do this, I need you to get out and vote on July 17th.
Vote George Zogby, Tuesday, July 17th. Paid for by the committee to elect George Zogby.
A little sunshine is nice, but too much is damaging. ProTint Window Tinting specializes in protecting you, your vehicles, homes, and businesses with premium installations of thermal and UV reduction ceramic films. Along with preventing sun damage, window tinting increases your privacy, provides a cool and comfortable interior, and is visually pleasing. When your dealer-installed tint fails, call ProTint. With a no-fault lifetime warranty on all jobs, ProTint has you covered. Call today, 802-123. That's 802-1234.
Does a new building with a wind rating of 175 miles per hour appeal to you? That certainly is within our capability. This is Scott Armstrong with Kemco Metal Buildings. For almost 50 years, Kemco has been designing and constructing the highest quality steel buildings for our customers. Whether you need a building for commercial, industrial, agricultural, storage, church or community use, or if you just want a Kemco building for yourself, please contact us. Kemco will use state-of-the-art software and our many years of experience to help you custom design a metal building that best suits your needs. Check out our website at KemcoBuildings.com or stop by our 40,000 square foot facility on Pollard Road in Daphne. We're big enough to get the job done, yet small enough to give you homegrown service. That is KEMKO 251-626-0594. Our goal is to exceed your expectations.
Welcome back to Plain Gardening for the Gulf Coast. Ask Bill Finch your gardening questions now at 343-0106.
My closer in there, Bill.
Hey, welcome back. It's a Gulf Coast Sunday morning with Plain Gardening. Lots of interesting, good questions. The ones I can get to quickly, I'm going to do right now. Somebody said, can I plant blueberries 10 to 12 feet from the house? Yes, probably that's far enough. Probably. There are two problems with planting blueberry bushes too close to the house. One is they really grow. If they're happy, they're going to grow, and they're going to get really big. They're going to spread wide, and they're going to get, you plant them 3 feet from the house, you're going to, oh, it's just going to be a mess. The other problem with planting them too close to the house, and I would say, generally, I would say that 6 feet or less, is that the houses are made with so much concrete, and builders put so much junk within that first 3 to 6 feet around your house that it can be very hard to grow anything. Concrete and blueberries do not mix because the concrete has lots of lime in it. Don't want to get too much into this. 12 feet is probably good enough as long as you're not too close to a sidewalk and as long as the soil there is pretty good. So I'd say, yeah, do it. I got to talk about sunken gardens, which I'm going to come back to a little bit more. I'm going to talk about how to prune an azalea. David, I'm doing it. And we're going to talk about that. David is asking me about starter plants from Old Time Feed and Seed. I don't know that Old Time has some of these wild plants from the Delta, but we're going to talk about what you can do. Shipfitter Sean, thank you for your patience. He sent me a number of pictures of his house, and it's a nice house, a nice place, and he's got a front, he got a porch that faces north, and he's got hanging plants on that porch. And of course, when your porch faces north, you worry about having enough light for those plants to grow, particularly when they're in hanging and they're hanging under the eaves of the porch. Shipfitter Sean, I have a good piece of advice for you and for anyone else who's growing plants on the north side of the house. Hang the plants lower. Drop the plants so that they hang lower. Here's why. On the north side of the house this time, even on the north side of the house this time of year, there's actually a lot of sunlight. It comes early in the morning
maybe before you get up. But, you know, if you're a ship fitter, probably not before you get up. You may notice there's lots of sunlight coming in. You will notice late in the day that there is lots of light that comes in, even on the north side of your house. It's that lower light, the light from the sun as it moves through the sky, the lower light, you can get plenty of light to have plants blooming and looking nice on the north side of your house. But you got to hang those plants lower, because it's not the midday light that's important. It's that light, and this is true for almost everything. It's the light before, but you know, up until 11 o'clock and the light after 3 o'clock that becomes very important for plants here and other places. To get that light, you got to hang the plants a little lower. Extend the chain down, and whatever you have there will bloom a little better. You will still have some problems with plants blooming on the north side of your house, so you don't want to have a really high light plant, a plant that takes a lot of sunlight. But, you know, impatiens can do very well. And in fact, we have several, so impatiens are great this time of year. That's a simple one. If you want to wait a little later, you can start planning for fall now. If you can find, one of the interesting things is that petunias would do very well there. They would like that. And so, particularly trailing petunias, if you can find the trailing petunias, which I love, you can start them from seed now, and just let those trailing petunias come out and hang down. They would be very beautiful. There's lots of great things you can do there. And, of course, there are lots of evergreens that don't flower well if you're not getting enough light for things to bloom. You know, there are lots of great evergreen things like, well, ferns, for example, that would do well there. But my first suggestion is hang those pots a little bit lower. Try impatiens. You'll be very happy. There's some other things we can try. As we get into winter, it's going to be a little more challenging for me, but I would love to think about it. So, Shipfitter Sean, call me back when you get tired of those impatiens and make me think, what am I going to do now? Let's think about that. Ooh, that's going to be a challenge. I don't know if I can come up with the answer right off the top of my head, but now I'm going to think about it. Hang the baskets lower. Try impatiens right now. And New Guinea impatiens is probably what I would try. This will be a good time of year to plant the New Guineas. But hang that basket lower. Hang that basket lower. Charlie, have we got any more callers? Am I caught up on the callers? Oh, I'm so sorry. Here we go. I'm listening. What's up?
Hello.
Yes, it's Bill. I'm listening. What's up?
Hi, Bill. Good morning. I was wondering if I could control cotton grass next spring by planting ryegrass this fall.
Oh, I wish it were so simple.
Okay.
No. But here's what can help. There are two things. If it's in a large area, if it's in a field.
It's in a field.
Yeah, and there are several things that help with cotton grass. The first and easiest thing to know is this. Cotton grass is a C4 grass, which doesn't mean anything to you, but basically what that means is it needs a lot of sunlight. It needs more sunlight than many grasses. And if it doesn't get a lot of sunlight, it doesn't thrive. So how do you deal with that? If it's just in an open field, you could plant trees, which has its own set of problems. But here's the other way. Cut the blades off, because that's how it's getting sunlight. Cotton grass is very vulnerable to regular mowing. If you mow cotton grass down to 4 inches or less, and you do it, three or four times a year, chances are you're going to lose the cotton grass out of there. You're probably going to get bahia grass or something almost as obnoxious back, but you'll be rid of the cotton grass.
Right.
So there it is. Mowing really helps. The other thing that helps...
It's in a field of bahia, so it's they're just patches of it.
Yeah, so just mowing will favor the bahia. It's that simple.
Great.
And so that's really good. The other thing that can help if you absolutely want to eliminate it is to disc it, break up the root system, then herbicide it, then try to get the bahia to take it over. So if you get an if you get a patch where you're worried about it, and I wouldn't actually worry about it too much if you've got bahia there already. The bahia is going to take that over as long as you're mowing regularly.
Okay.
So does that help?
Absolutely. I'm not going to go through the rigmarole of disking it and all that sort of stuff. I just control it. So
Yeah. Just mow it. And I know this because nurseries all around Alabama had to deal with this, and I've dealt with my friends in the nursery industry who were panicked because they didn't know how they were going to control Kogon grass, and in a panic they just started mowing, and lo and behold, boom, it all turned to bahia. The Kogon grass is still there, but it doesn't compete as well when you have to mow it. Bahia grass does.
Thank you, Bill.
Great. Good to hear from you.
All right.
So there it is. You know, Kogon does cause problems in other areas where it's inappropriate to mow. Chris reminds me again and again that it is my good friend and a great source for this show, Chris Francis Tree Care, reminds me, no imazapyr around hardwoods. And so you notice I got out of the imazapyr problem here. A lot of people are trying to control Kogon with a herbicide called imazapyr. And we are, look, folks, it causes damage to other things besides Kogon. And you want to be really careful about that. I've seen areas where imazapyr has been used, and it can have an effect on a wide variety of things, not just the Kogon grass. In some cases, you may be forced to do that, but let's take that off the table because it's very difficult. We got to take a break. Gil. So we got to take a break. It will kill those hardwoods and do serious damage.
It's time for the 85th annual Alabama Deep Sea Fishing Rodeo, the largest fishing tournament in the world. Hey, it kicks off at the Mossy Oak Liars Contest on Thursday, July 19th on Dolphin Island. Fishing begins at 5 Friday morning, July 20th, with the Molly Ringwalds playing that night. Hey, the rodeo site and all the musical acts are free to spectators for the weekend, and the total awards package this year valued at $500,000 in cash and prizes, with 30 categories and 4 jackpots, including Crane Works Red Snapper Jackpot. For tickets and more information, visit adsfr.com.
FM Talk 106.5, the Gulf Coast Weather Authority, and Dr. Bill Williams.
The skies will be partly cloudy today. Look for scattered thunderstorms with temperatures in the lower 90s. Tonight, a few thunderstorms, lows in the mid-70s. And for Monday, scattered thunderstorms with highs in the lower 90s. Visit meteorologist Dr. Bill Williams for FM Talk 106.5.
FM Talk 106.5, the Gulf Coast Weather Authority.
This Sunday, July 15th, is National Ice Cream Day. Cammie's Old Dutch Ice Cream Shop is celebrating with her customers. Bring the whole family. Come out from 1 till 7 Sunday evening for face painting, a visit with Sunshine the Clown. Enjoy lots of giveaways and have lots of fun. It's Cammie's Day to celebrate with all of her awesome customers. National Ice Cream Day this Sunday from 1 till 7 at Cammie's Old Dutch Ice Cream Shop on the corner of Old Shell and Florida. Don't miss it.
A message from Billy Joe Underwood, running countywide for the Baldwin County Commission.
Open government and quality of life have been at the forefront of my campaign because I love Baldwin County as much as you. With your help, we will continue to pursue our vision for a better Baldwin County. I can't move forward alone. I need your help. I am Billy Joe Underwood, candidate for Baldwin County Commission District 3, and I ask for your vote in the July 17th runoff election. Let's make Baldwin County better together.
Paid for by the committee to elect Billy Joe Underwood, 18446 Davis Road, Summerdale, Alabama.
Celebrate your independence during the month of July with a Liberty Safe during Mike Ward's Scratch and Dent Truckload Sale, now going on. Save hundreds on slightly blemished Liberty Safes with a lifetime replaceable warranty and a fire or attempted break-in. Best of all, have your Liberty Safe delivered up to 50 miles ground floor at no extra charge. Financing for 12 months at 0% interest is available with approved credit. Just look for the giant Liberty Safe at exit 5B, I-65 in Moffitt and Mobile. Call 471-1137.
When it comes to keeping our families safe, experience matters. And there's only one candidate for district court judge with the right experience for the job, Spiro Charagatis. A former Mobile County prosecutor, Spiro has a proven record of fighting crime. And that's why he's supported by local law enforcement, District Attorney Ashley Rich, and the retiring district court judge. On July 17th, remember Spiro Charagatis. Hard name. Harder on crime.
Paid for by the Committee to Elect Spiro. P.O. Box 1964, Mobile, Alabama 36633.
Radio. It's nothing new. It's been here all along, with free entertainment, news, sports, music, and information. It's not just part of life. It's part of who we are. You know which station is going to tell you the score of the game, which one's going to give you a laugh in the morning, which one is going to give you something to sing along with. You know where to turn when the weather gets rough. When something big happens, good or bad, you know where to go, because radio has been here all along. Radio is part of your community, woven into the fabric of what makes home, home. And now, radio has evolved to move with you with the next radio app and your FM-enabled phone. Just plug in your headphones to start experiencing radio in a whole new way while using way less battery and data than streaming apps. Check out the live guide to see and interact with live radio stations. Easily find your favorites like the one you're listening to right now. And as always, it's totally free. Download the Next Radio app today. Next Radio, live and local wherever you go.
Welcome back to Plain Gardening for the Gulf Coast. Ask Bill Finch your gardening questions now at 343-0106.
Hey, welcome back. It's a Gulf Coast Sunday morning with Plain Gardening. I think we're caught up on these texts. If I haven't answered your text, you text me back and say, answer my question now, and I'll try to do it. It was good. Shipfitter Sean, I hope that helped you. Johnny in Grand Bay sent me some great pictures of his passion fruits. They're doing great. Beautiful picture of the passion fruit up close. You can actually see these pictures by going to FM Talk, to our website, fmtalk1065.com. And you can go onto that website and you can go to the schedule and look, and there's my name. There's Plain Gardening. You can click on it and you can go look at the pictures that people send in, including this passion flower that Johnny's growing, apparently to eat. Johnny, is this correct? Am I to understand this correctly? There it is. It's a good picture. Good to hear from. Hey, listen, I have another caller. Is that right? Rick, is that you? Rick, you there? If I got the right name? Yeah, here we go. Ricky.
There you go. That's me.
There you go. Hey, I'm listening. What's up?
Okay. I got some oak trees in my yard, and I read on a tractor form a while back that you're not supposed to mow with a tractor around oak trees within the drip line, because you can compact the soil and cause damage to, do something to the roots or something. I wonder if there's any truth to that. And the other part of that question is, I mow with a zero turn mower, and I wonder if it can do any harm.
Ricky, this is a great question, and something a lot of people need to think about and don't. Yes, the simple answer is yes. You're more likely to do harm in certain types of soils. Sandy soils are very vulnerable if they're wet. And, of course, here's the thing. I don't know if you've noticed, they're wet most of the time here because it rains all the time. So, yes, a lot of compaction occurs with heavy equipment. And I'll tell you, some people may think I'm a little obsessed about this, but it's true. Even heavy walk-behind lawnmowers, if they're very heavy and you're continually walking that yard while it's wet, can do mm-hmm. compaction damage. So the big key is, if you're going to mow with a heavy mower, and by heavy mower, I mean even a walk-behind mower, if it's a really big one, if you're going to mow with a heavy lawnmower, don't do it while the soil is wet. Tractors can compact soil really bad. The one thing that tractors have and that they try to take advantage of are really big tires. The bigger the tires, the more flotation area and the less compaction you get. But compaction is not something that all tractor owners think of, tractor builders think about. So sometimes you don't have the right ratio of tire to tractor weight, and tractors can be very heavy. The compaction does occur. It will occur. It is occurring all the time in pastures and in lawns. Avoid mowing when the lawn is just a little bit wet. Of course, the problem is that grass grows faster when the lawn is moist. And so, you know, you're kind of at a loss, and that's why you want to use the lightest equipment possible. So there's the story. Is there a way you can work around it?
Well, I can, but it's just it becomes time consuming and pretty labor intensive because when I read that, I stopped mowing within the drip line. Now I've got a zero turn, and with me on it, it's a little over 1,000 pounds. I don't mow when it's wet, mainly because it gives me an excuse not to mow, but also because it's messy, and I don't think the mower cuts well, you know. When it's wet it's dry. It's pretty dry when I mow. But what I've been pushing the using a very small, really cheap, lightweight walk behind mower, within that drip line, if that's the correct term. But I'm dealing with weeds out here, and of course, since it's under the oak trees, all these little oak trees want to sprout up, and they're pretty prolific. So, it's just a matter of, I have a pretty big yard. It's just a matter of staying on it and getting around to that. So if I can mow around it with the zero turn, it's much more time efficient. That's the only thing. But if it's, if you think I mow when it's dry, if it's a bad thing to do, well, then I
think when it's dry, let me say, I think when it's dry, given your thoughtfulness here, I think you're going to be fine. And I'll tell you, there's a couple of reasons why. Soil structure is a very interesting thing. I mean, the grains of soil need to be, they sort of maintain their own distance in good soil. When it's wet and when we mow heavily, those little grains tend to crush together. But the advantage you have is that, one, you've got some pretty vigorous weeds growing there, and they have a root system of their own, which resists compaction. Plus, you have the trees, which are resisting compaction to some degree, too, because of their root structure. So I think with a zero-turn radius mower underneath those trees, if you're watching to make sure it doesn't stay too wet, I think you're going to be okay. I think you should not worry about it, and I think you'll be fine.
That's good. That's good news. The another part of that, though, is that on one of the trees, I experimented by putting some hay around it.
Yeah.
That really just seemed like it encouraged more weed growth than anything. I thought it might somehow help the impede weed growth, but it seemed like it made it worse.
Yeah, that's an interesting thing. So it can, and managing a mulch to control weeds is a balancing act. You need the mulch to be on there high enough let's say there are no weeds there whatsoever, except for weed seeds. So the mulch needs to be, in that case, it's fairly easy because the mulch just needs to be deep enough to prevent those seeds from germinating. And that means the seeds need sunlight. So, if you've got a mulch on there that's 3 or 4 inches deep, you're good. But if you've got perennials, weeds that are already growing there, that already have a root system, that already have lots of energy stored in that root system, they just can shoot up through that mulch. And that's probably what's happening. So to suppress those weeds, you need something deeper. You'd need something almost 12 inches deep or deeper. If you put it on too deep, however, you have an oxygen problem. You can strangle the roots of the tree if at a certain point because the mulch is too deep. So, yeah, I think mulching around those trees is going to be impractical for you at this point. I think you're going to need to mow with that zero turn radius. It sounds like these are pretty big trees, right? These are pretty old trees.
Yeah, well, they're about probably 20, little over 20 years old. They grew surprisingly fast.
That's right.
Really, it surprised me how fast they grew.
Everything grows fast here. It's always a good good remember. It's I'm going to go into the break if I'm not careful, but we think live oaks that are hundreds of years old may only be a few decades old, and that happens a lot. I may feel free to go into a diatribe on that when we come back. Hey, it's good to hear from people. Ricky, that's good to hear from you, and a very thoughtful question about whether mowing can compact soils. We're going to be back here in just a minute.
I'm hearing mandolins a lot louder than I'm hearing you.
Yeah, that's all right. We're going into a break, Ricky. That's the deal. So we're going into a break, but we'll be back.
Brave men fall with the battle cry, and tears fill the eyes of their loved ones and their brothers in arms. So it went for Joseph Warren. It should have been different. It could have been easy. His reign could have saved him. But a country unborn needs bravery. And it spread like wildfire. Wildfire. From the ashes grew sweet liberty. Like the seeds of the pines when the forest burns, they open up to grow and burn again.
My buddy Austin Key from Arrow Exterminators back in studio. Summertime's here and the living's stingy and bitey. I think about my backyard. You got fire ants on the ground, you got mosquitoes in the air, and I need Arrow.
Yeah, Mobile is the area for fire ants, and mosquitoes is almost a year-round problem for us.
So you got to tackle something that's, two different critters out there that are kind of ruining our backyards for us. How do you do that?
Well, we'll create a customized plan specifically for your needs, whether it be our fire ant program or a mosquito program that we can put in place for you.
Okay, so the fire ants take over somebody's backyard. Does Arrow have a way to keep them at bay so I can get back out barefooted? Can you get rid of fire ants?
Yes, we can come out and we'll send an evaluator out to take a look at that property and figure out specific areas that we need to treat, and we can take care of the fire ants for you.
All right, so we're going after mosquitoes. We're going after fire ants. How do we get in touch with you?
You can reach us at 888-GO-ARROW or arrowexterminators.com.
All right, Austin, so I am planning a family party around that information. Get rid of those fire ants. Get rid of those mosquitoes.
Absolutely. We've got 100% satisfaction guarantee.
The Husqvarna Fleet Program is back at Robert Stowe Power Equipment. Husqvarna and Robert Stowe Power Equipment have teamed up to bring you the best deals on commercial zero turns of the season. Listen up, landscapers. Right now, get a Husqvarna commercial zero turn starting at $136 a month for qualified buyers and receive a blower and string trimmer for free. Do you feel like the yard work never ends? Husqvarna's robotic 450X auto mower gives you a better looking lawn with less effort. The auto mower maneuvers around your lawn without supervision, even over tricky terrain and obstacles. It knows when it needs power and directs itself back to the charging station. With convenient control options, the auto mower allows you to set it and forget it, even from your smartphone. Thanks to Husqvarna, you can have a great-looking lawn and more time to enjoy it this summer. Visit Robert Stowe Power Equipment today to see how they can help with all your lawn and garden needs. Highway 59 South in Robertsdale, right at the split by the Catholic Church. Or visit them online at robertstowepower.com. Husqvarna, ready when you are.
My friend Sid Sexton from Sexton Lawn and Landscape back in the studio with me, and let's talk about some pre-emerge. That's what y'all have done to turn, one of the things y'all have done to turn my yard around.
Right. Preventative measures are always more beneficial. If we can get out in front of weeds and get a pre-emergent down, that's always going to be helpful.
Instead of trying to kill them down the road, that never happens.
That's right. It's much easier to try to prevent something before it happens.
All right. So y'all are coming out this time of year and putting pre-emergents in yards.
That's what we're doing now. And really, our program, we're trying to put down a pre-emergent all throughout the year because weed seeds germinate different times.
I tell you what we've seen in our yard with y'all doing the pre-emergent, the grass has taken back over places that used to be the domain of weeds.
The best weed control is a healthy lawn. So if we can keep the weeds at bay long enough to grow in good, healthy grass, that's going to be the best method.
So you're always learning something with Sid. If we want you to come out and look at our place, how do we get in touch with you?
Well, find us online, sextonlandscapes.com, or we're all over social media, Instagram, Facebook, or Twitter, or just give us a call, 626-3309.
Paid by committee to elect David Northcutt, P.O. Box 515, Montrose, Alabama, 36559.
Chris Elliott must think voters of Baldwin County are stupid. He's lying to the voters about David Northcutt. Facts speak for themselves. Fact. Chris Elliott is a tax raiser. He supported and campaigned for Build Baldwin Now, the tax increase voters of Baldwin County rejected. And now he's taking taxpayer-funded trips to Washington, D.C. as a political stunt. Fact. Chris Elliott is in the pocket of Montgomery's special interest. Elliott has received over $350,000 from liberal special interest who support Common Core, weakening gun rights, and especially raising the gas tax, because Elliott has agreed to raise your taxes. Fact. Chris Elliott was arrested for DUI. He stated he was going to own his punishment. He had his attorney in court say that he was too important to lose his driver's license because he was a politician. Come on, Chris. The voters aren't buying your deceit. We have a clear choice on July 17th. Vote for lying career politician Chris Elliott or the true conservative David Northcutt.
Welcome back to Plain Gardening for the Gulf Coast. Ask Bill Finch your gardening questions now at 343-0106.
Well, I reckon I got to do cleanup here. We have had so many good questions today and lots of things and trying to keep up with everybody. Trying to keep up with David, David P., who sent me lots of questions. And David, I'm not going to forget this last question here. Not going to forget the last question, which is where do you get, if we build this swale garden, this hole in the ground garden, can we build it where there's an old pecan tree? Was another question I had. Yeah, probably you can. Probably you can. It's probably a good way of addressing that. Sometimes the ground under it doesn't, if it perks too well, if the water drains out of it too quickly because of root systems, it may not work as well. But in general, it'll probably work pretty well. Yeah, I could use an old hole where there was a pecan tree, and you might actually have pretty good soil there because that root breaks down. But David wanted to know, where am I going to get these Delta plants? Oh, David, you started this. You started this, so now I have to. Now we got. But listen, there's some simple ways of doing it. The first and the most conventional way is the way, because we're grocery store people, we're retail people, we go. If we want food, we don't grow it ourselves. We go to the store to get it. I understand that. These are specialty items that may not be available elsewhere. But the first thing you want to look for, the first thing you want to look for are the things we call Louisiana iris. Now, we call them Louisiana iris because we're here in the presence of David H. And everything good comes from Louisiana. I appreciate that. But the other thing we need to know is that the things we call Louisiana iris are actually native in the Mobile Tensaw Delta as well. And so you can get the modern hybrids of these wild iris. You can get the hybrids of these modern, the modern hybrids of these wild iris by going to the store. I don't know, because I haven't asked them specifically, but I bet you both A Bloom and Old Time Feed and Seed have these Louisiana iris. I don't know, but I suspect they have some. So you can go look for the Louisiana iris. If they don't have them, ask them, can you get some? And there. There's another place. Mobile Botanical Gardens has those every at their fall and spring plant sales. They have those Louisiana iris. They're really great. Great way to start, David. The Hymenocallis, the things I call Delta lilies, they're a little bit harder, but oftentimes they're available at the Mobile Botanical Gardens. And the native crinum lily, which is a rogue. I mean, when you plant a little bit of it, you got a lot of it, but it's a beautiful flower. The thing I call shoestring lily, the crinum lilies that are native to blooming right about now, they are, you can also get them at Mobile Botanical Gardens. Hibiscus are an incredible thing to have in the garden. And there are many kinds of native hibiscus. The big red hibiscus, the thing we call Texas star hibiscus, is actually native to not the Delta so much, but it was particularly common along Dog River at one time. You still see it on the Mobile shore in a very few places, but it's a great thing, a big, beautiful thing, hibiscus of all kinds. And David, you can ask me next week, because I'm going to run out of time to talk about hibiscus, because it's such a big subject, are really great. And here's the seeds. Seeds are a really great way to collect plants from the Delta. Don't try to dig them. Just those seeds can be very good. Seeds from lots of plants. I'm going to run out of time to talk about all the ways we can get seeds. David, call me back next week, and let's talk about the many ways to do that. Right now, I got a caller in not much time. Bernadine, I'm listening. What's up?
Hey, my yellow crookneck squash is full of blooms, but it has white, I guess, mildew on the leaves.
Yeah, so that, you know, you are very lucky, Bernadine, because most people's squash doesn't last long enough to get mildew on it. Oh. This time, usually the squash vine borer and other problems cause the squash to decline long before they get mildew. But mildew can be a big problem in our climate. There is nothing you can do once that mildew attacks except to keep picking and until the mildew just finally plays it out. The conditions this time of year are good for mildew to develop.
One.
Very hard to control it. I don't think there are really any practical ways of controlling it. If we get a little bit more rainfall, it may slow it down. Actually, rainfall slows down mildew a little bit. But, boy, if you've gotten good yellow squash up until this time, have you picked a lot of yellow squash, Bernadine?
I haven't had a bunch of it.
Yeah, next year, plant it a little earlier. And I would love to talk about yellow squash. Yellow squash is very hard to grow here in Mobile and Baldwin counties because of this thing called the squash vine borer. And it can be very difficult. I have some suggestions. If you will call me back next week and let's talk about squash. Can we talk about it a little more? And I can help you out with finding the squash that works really good for us. Right now, I'm going to have to take a break because it's the end of our show. But we've got some great music coming up that I want you to listen to. Great Whispering Pines from a group called The Band. A really beautiful thing that's going to take us out this morning. Boy, what a fun show it's been. We have been around the world. We've talked about a bunch of different things. I wish we had time for all of our questions. David, you have to call me back next week. We got to talk about these hibiscus. Bernadine, you need to call me back next week. And let's talk about yellow squash. And good. And so we're coming up on the break here in just a minute. But call me. There it is.